almost like you're depressed and despondent, and you're like wondering, what is going on?
You feel like you're in a rut, your wheels are spinning. The more you try and get out, the deeper you get into that snow, mud, whatever it is you're stuck in, right? Or you're struggling with some kind of habitual sin, and it keeps popping up every around the corner. And the wheels keep spinning, and you feel like you're stuck in that place. I believe as we talk about the authority and the power of the blood of Jesus, it's going to give you fresh perspective and fresh strategy on how to get out of that rut. Because the blood of Jesus delivers us. The blood of Jesus sets us free. And the blood of Jesus is like the tow truck that's going to come and lift us right out of that place of despondency, despair, or habitual sin, or trap, and bring us into a place of victory. That's the power of the blood. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to take a look at that and revisit the power of the blood of Jesus this morning as we think about this. We'll read a few different scriptures. The focus of much of the message toward the end is going to be on Hebrews chapter 10, so you can kind of put your finger in there, and we'll get there in just a few moments. But as we talked about on Easter Sunday, we said, what does God feel most strongly about, right? What does God feel most strongly about? And we highlighted that God feels most strongly about, in the sense, the cross, His Son's suffering, Christ shed blood, and of course the resurrection, right? We know that's a pivotal monumental point in the history of mankind. We also know it's a pivotal monumental point in God's plan and purpose of redemption is the cross. And so God will never get away from the cross, and God will never get away from thinking about the impact of, and He's reminded of His Son's sacrifice, His Son's suffering, His Son's giving of Himself, and He'll never get away from that. He's reminded, of course, of the victory as well, but the pain and suffering that He had to endure as He endured the cross, the forsaking of the Father, the penalty of sin, your sin, my sin, being poured on His Son. Don't ever forget that. And He treasures that. He values that. And as we talk about that, I think the important thing is that we see the cross as a way to relate to God. It's through Christ's blood, right? The cross becomes a tool for us, an understanding of the way we relate to God. And so I want to kind of highlight that as we jump back into what Ben shared last week. So what he talked about, I'm going to kind of hit some of the same scriptures he hit, but just in review for a few minutes, but was talking about the infinite value of the blood of Christ, the infinite value of the blood of Christ. And the thing I was just saying was, the blood of Christ means as much to God right now as it did 2,000 years ago. It reminds the Father of Christ's extreme devotion, His massive work of redemption. And so the blood of Christ is a consistent reminder out there for the Father to say, look at my Son, look at my Son, look at what my Son endured for all of mankind. That's how much I care for mankind. That's how much I love my people, my creation. That's a, and God consistently is pointing toward that blood of Christ. Something significant is when you invoke the blood of Christ, you unlock these infinite passions of the Father, right? This is the Father's heart. And so when we invoke the blood of Christ, we're actually bringing royalty right into our presence. In a sense, it's like me saying, okay, it's time, Nate, for you to be crowned prince. We're going to make you the prince of GCF. And so I get my crown, and I'm going to put it on your head, and you're going to be the prince, right? And so there's royalty in our presence, and we're honoring him. Wow, that's pretty exciting value, just because you're... He's the only one who wants to sit close enough to me because he knows I don't smell. We just talked about that, right? So he knows. Everybody else has a question. But I put the crown on in royalty because it's a symbol of Christ's blood, right? It's like what we would do. We honor God's sacrifice by saying there's royalty here in my relationship with God as I invoke the blood of Jesus. And so as I invoke the blood of Jesus, I'm really tapping into the passion of the Father, the heart of the Father. Believing in Christ's blood unleashes God's favor upon you, right? This is God's way to show His favor. It's saying the blood of my Son, the shed blood of my Son is on you. And therefore, I no longer see you as you were, lost in your trespasses and sins. I now see you as you are, righteous before me, justified by faith in the blood, right? We see that scripture, justified by faith in the blood. And so that's how the Father sees us in that way. And so believing in Christ's blood unleashes God's favor on you. Now here's the thing. I think so many of us get into these ruts. We're spinning our wheels. We get difficult. And what's one of the things that we think when we're in that rut? Nobody understands. Nobody sees. Man, does anybody know what I feel right now? What I'm going through? The pain. The suffering. We were just over with Bob and Jackie about this week, had chemo that he had to start a new chemo, and it just tore him apart. Like, he couldn't keep anything down. And so he's lost 14 pounds just in this last 5 days. And so, you know, just the pain, walking through. The cancer's not eating him up right now. The cells are still minimal, thank God. Let's keep believing for that. But the chemo itself just destroyed him. What it's going through. And I was trying to feel like I could get inside of his skin. And in that moment, I'm reminded, he sees, he knows, he understands, because there's no greater suffering than mankind has ever endured than what Christ endured on the cross. He knows, he sees, he understands. So the blood of Jesus addresses the greatest lie that the enemy poses to us. You know that pose in the garden? Oh, not really the truth. You really believe? No, God's withholding something from you. Because he knows when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be open like God. And you'll see like God sees. And so God's withholding something from you. The greatest lie that the enemy perpetrates, right? That somehow, some way, God is not giving us his best. The blood of Jesus. He sees, he knows, he understands. And so the greatest gift that God has given, he's already demonstrated how much he loves us. And so when you're in the midst of that trouble, that trial, that difficulty, and you begin to think that thought, nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through. There is one. Absolutely one. Who knows? Who sees? Who understands? Who cares? Who watched his own son go through something so much even more. And give it all up. He knows, he sees, he cares. And so you see, the infinite value of the blood of Christ is the recognition of the Father saying, I love you this much. How many of you know that Jesus didn't want to endure the cross, right? Remember in Matthew 26, verse 42, when he prayed in the garden? He said, Lord, if this cup could be taken from me, please do it. A little paraphrase, please do it. Nevertheless, I will. But really, in other words, if there's another way, Father, I'll take it. Why? Because Christ seeing the suffering and the pain and knowing, not just the physical pain, but knowing that he was taking on the weight of sin, the wrath of his Father upon himself in that moment. If there's another way, Father, but let's do this. Nevertheless. And so he didn't do it because he did it for the joy set before him, enduring the cross, because he saw you and he saw me and he saw us on the other side. But he had such a loyalty. Let's go back. Endured the cross because he had such a loyalty to the Father. Because he said to the Father in that moment in Matthew 26, nevertheless, I don't want this. If there's another way, but nevertheless, Father, your will. My loyalty to you is above any personal suffering. Any pain that I might experience. Man, the first sight of pain, I'm out of here, right? I don't want this Christianity thing anymore. This is too difficult. This is challenging. Forget this. This is painful. There's got to be an easier way. Bless me, Lord. That's what I'm signing up for. Pain? No. Jesus said, nevertheless, I don't want pain, Father, either. Nevertheless, I'm not willing. Yours be God. Of the blood of Jesus. It provokes us, doesn't it? Because the first sign of pain, how many of us want to stay and say, I'm still signed up? It's hard, right? Come on, brother. I remember seeing you that second day in the hospital and I couldn't move. In agony, just in agony. And yet, I saw the glory of God in the face. The glory of God was there. Because nothing else could have made me smile. I didn't sign up for this, Lord. But nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. See, Jesus endured the cross, had a loyalty to the Father, and out of that love and that act of loyalty, the Father never forgets. And the Father causes us in the same way to look at the cross and pledge that same level of loyalty to Jesus, right? I value the blood of Christ. I want to pledge that loyalty to the Lord in that way, with infinite value of the blood of Christ. So I want to talk a little bit more about, as Ben shared last week, a few different things. We talked about the power, the infinite power of the blood of Jesus as well. And here's some of the things we talked about last week and the week before. The blood of Jesus washes us from all our sins, right? Revelation 1:5, Ben, you quoted that. We read that. I read that. Last week, you did an excellent job talking about how the blood of Jesus justifies us and sanctifies us in that way. Gave us a few scriptures to focus on. It kind of reminds us when we were younger, or maybe as parents, we could put it this way, when we put our kids in the bathtub, right? Put our kids in the bathtub. There's little Roman when he's in the bathtub. You young boy, you know, just in there a few years old, and he's splashing around. He's having fun, right? Eh, he's got his toys in there. He's having a great old time, right? But that's not the purpose of the bath, is it, Roman? No. The purpose of the bath is to get you what? Clean. There we go. He knows it. He knows it. So Daddy, I'm going to play for a little while. I'm going to splash for a little while. I'm going to have a little fun for a little while. But uh-oh, here comes that wash brush. And Daddy, you know, Mommy comes out there and they start scrubbing behind the ears and they start scrubbing, you know, all those places. And Roman doesn't like that part of that. He likes the part where he gets to splash and play, right? That's why we need the blood of Jesus to come and cleanse us and wash us and purify us. And it's not pretty sometimes, right? It can be painful sometimes, but thank God for the blood of Jesus, because that's what God uses to sanctify us, to wash us, to cleanse us from our sin, to justify us, to enable us to stand before. Isaiah 61:10 tells us that the blood of Jesus, that by this blood we're going to be cleansed and put on pure garments, clean garments in that way, that not only does it wash us from the power of sin, it washes us from the stains of sin. And yeah, we face consequences and difficulties when we fall willfully into sin. But God's saying by his blood, by his authority, he's taking away the stain from it. So it's not even any garbage. You're white as snow. That's the way you stand before the Father. Through the blood of Christ, white as snow. The blood washes us from all our sin. Secondly, we said last week as well, and I'm kind of paraphrasing how Ben said it, he said it so much better, the blood purchased our redemption, right? That we were enslaved to sin, but the blood purchases. Romans 6 tells us we're enslaved to sin, but 1 Peter 1 tells us by his blood we've been purchased and redeemed. So there's been a divine exchange, right? A divine exchange. Like when I took my old washer and dryer to the dump, and watched it, took it to that metal redemption place, right? Took it to that place, and the big claw came down, and it took and squeezed that thing, and it put it in the pile, and the guy gave me $5. It was great, man. You know, I walked away with $5. It was so cool. So, you know, it was all torn up, all old and beat up. I couldn't really use that much anymore, so redemption, right? And so Jesus said, I'm going to give you the claw of life and take away your junk, your garbage, your old stuff, your ugly stuff. I'm going to give you $5. No, I'm going to give you heavenly, eternal life. I'm going to give you eternity. This is so much more valuable than the $5 I got from the redemption place, right? I think I should hold up for more, right? Yeah, rip it off, buddy. Yep, that's it. $5. He purchased our redemption. The blood provides for our healing, right? And we know from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, by his stripes we're healed. And so we're holding on to that claim for so many around us that are sickly, that are struggling, that are in difficulty. Here's my brother Ron, who had that toe situation and he had to go into the hospital 2 or 3 times because of this the fluid, overflow fluid that they get. But anyway, he had to deal with that heart issue and all those kinds of things came to pass, and God healed him, right? And so we're holding on to that promise. We're holding on to that promise for our brother Bob. We're holding on to that promise for so many others, right, that are among us that are being afflicted with infirmity. Is it God's will that they suffer? No, that's not what I'm saying. It's God's will that they suffer, but I'm holding on to the promise, by his stripes we are healed. And so that talks about my physical provision for healing as well. All right, the infinite power of the blood of Jesus. So today I want to, Ben talked about how it defeats the enemy. I want to talk about that specific verse, how the Bible silences the evil one. Revelation 12:10. Anybody there? Revelation 12:10. If somebody can turn there and read that for us nice and loud, because I didn't write it down. I just highlighted it here in my notes. But Revelation 12:10. Somebody want to read that for us? We're going to get there. Raise your hand if you will. Yeah, Ben's got it. Oh, Ronan, you got it too?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Ronan. Nice and loud.
Now, how come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah for the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God, day and night has been thrown down.
You see, he got clean before that. Now he's walking in his righteousness, declaring the word of the Lord. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Ronan's dad, Mr. Sam, when he'd come up and do the testimony time for many a year, he did that for us. He would quote that verse. He would quote that verse. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by not loving their lives even unto death, right? As you get into Romans 10, 12, 10, 11. And so what we're talking about is the overcoming of the evil one. The overcoming that the blood of Jesus Christ, they overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb. So we know that the devil is constantly, the scripture tells us, he constantly is accusing us. He's accusing us before the Father. He's saying, oh, John, he is such a, oh man, that guy's a shyster, and he's calling out these things, making these false accusations about them. Now, there's some things about them that are true, right? And so as he stands before God, as he stands before you, the enemy's lying to you and telling you, you're this. You're not this, and you're not that, right? And he begins to try and undermine everything that the Word of God says about you. The devil constantly accusing his people. And the Bible says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And so oftentimes, when you hear that vice, that lie from the pit of hell, and you sit there and you listen to it, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get despondent. You're going to get despairing. You're going to get depressed because you're just listening to the wrong voice. And the voice is telling you how much you stink.
I can't do anything.
And we just fall into that pit. And we fall into that pit, and it leads us into despair. As soon as I hear that voice, I've got to rise up and say, the blood of Jesus declares over me that I'm righteous. The blood of Jesus declares over me that I'm whole. The blood of Jesus declares over me that I'm a son. The blood of Jesus declares. And I begin to apply that precious blood to defeat the voice of hell. Do you do that? If you don't, I challenge you to put that in your arsenal the next time you begin to hear the voice of the accuser. Because he will roar. He will roar in your ear. He will roar by the circumstances of your life. And he will tell you what a loser you are. And you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, which gives me authority overcome the evil one. That's your tool. That's your force. There's a story that Lester Sumrall tells when he was in the Philippines. He's a minister who has traveled the world and really is a preacher of just an inspiring speaker as well. But he was in the Philippines one time and he began to pray over a young woman who was demonically oppressed, and you could just see it, you know, the demonic oppression in her life. And as he began to speak over her, she started talking back to him, but it really wasn't her, it was the demonic force inside of her. See, we don't believe that happens, you know, we're just too cultured. Demonized people, but they're not there. And you might be sitting in the neighborhood, but in any case, and so he starts addressing her, and she can't speak any English but the demon can. And so starts speaking very clearly in English. And the demon begins to curse the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right in front of him and all the ministers. But then the demon begins to speak about the blood of Jesus. And what's interesting is as Sumrall recounts the story, he says, the demon was speaking about curses about the blood of Jesus as if it were alive, as if the blood itself were alive today. Like, oh, that blood of Jesus! And they just not even won't say it, whatever the cursing was. Because the demonic realm understands the power of the authority of the Lord Jesus. You want to see it illustrated? All right, think about it. Angel of death coming through in Egypt. Here it is, angel of death coming through, right? It's going to kill all the firstborn. It's going to wipe all the firstborn. Oh, wait a second. I see the blood on an innocent land over the doorpost of this house. I have no authority over that house. It's marked by the blood of Christ. The blood of the Lamb. Whoops, let's go over there. Oh, got this one. Got boom. The blood of the innocent over the doorpost of this house. I have no authority here. The demonic realm understands their limitations, that they cannot stand against the blood of Christ. The innocent Lamb who is shed for his blood is shed for our sins, for the power of the enemy. And so we overcame him. And we overcome him today by the blood of the Lamb, declaring that blood, declaring that blood. Now, I know it's a little facetious story, but many of you have seen The Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy takes out that bucket, and at the end, she pitches the bucket, not meaning to necessarily hit the witch, but it lands on the wicked witch, right? What happens? I'm melting. And I know it's a little facetious story, but you get the picture. This is the way the devil would respond. Cowers to the blood of Jesus. Shrinks to the blood of Jesus. Because he has no authority. So as a believer, this is a tool in your toolbox. It's a lot harder, isn't it, Nate, when you go into a situation to restore a house if you don't have a specific tool that you desperately need, right? Like you don't have a crowbar to pry away some stuff. And imagine just trying to pull that little bag. It's going to take him a lot. He's a strong guy. It's going to take him a lot. He may struggle. He may not get that piece of whatever stuff off. It's a tool that he can use. And if he takes out that crowbar, that thing's coming right off. And so we struggle and we wrestle and we're hearing these voices and these thoughts and the enemy's crushing us. And we have a tool in our God. And we just pry that lie right off the pit of hell, deliver us. So I challenge you. You provoked, actively utilize that tool. This is what it sounds like. And so, Father, I just take the blood of Jesus right now and I apply it to the doorpost of my heart, the doorpost of our family. I just believe right now against any lie that the enemy tells. And I pray that way on a daily basis. Any lie. And so as the lie begins to supplant in my mind, it begins to take root. No, the blood of Jesus rejects you, convicts you, and I just use the tool, right? By the blood of the Lamb. So that one is such a good one for us as believers to put in practice. Number five, the blood cleanses us from a guilty conscience. Hebrews 9:14 says that. Let me see if somebody could turn there and read that verse for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Anybody there?
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who is the eternal Spirit, offer himself and not stop to God, cleanse your conscience and endeavor to serve the Lord?
Cleanse your conscience. How much more the blood of Christ? So it's not just our the devil that calls us out, right? In a sense, sometimes our own conscience calls us out. Our own conscience is telling us. And the enemy uses the guilt that's associated with our own conscience at times to call us out and to begin to condemn us through that. And so the Holy Spirit never condemns us. He just convicts us. But the enemy even uses our conscience to condemn us, to make us feel guilty. Remember the old famous Edgar Allan Poe story, The Telltale Heart? Remember that? No? You didn't have to read that for school? Yeah, I didn't read that for school. That's where it's a gruesome story. It's where the main character kills the old man because he's got a eye that just stares at him weird, and he gets freaked out by it, and so he puts that to rest by killing him, and then he buries him in under the planks of his, do you remember the story? Oh, yeah, this one, you gotta read it now. Telltale Heart, but try to forget it. But in the end, the police come because they have to investigate, and the man starts hearing the voice of the dead man calling out to him. And he's afraid because he thinks the police hear it, and finally he says, okay, I confess, right? You know the story? He's under the planks, there he is. And so it's the guilty conscience that just is provoked and provoked and provoked. And I can't help but wonder how many are out there in the world today living with a guilty conscience. How God could even use that, but how the enemy can use that just to condemn, to lower. There's no hope for you. You'll never get out of this. You'll never get away from this. You're done. You're always going to be guilty, right? And so Jesus offers us cleansing from a guilty conscience. What an amazing gift through the blood of Jesus that we can be cleansed from a guilty conscience, because guilt is a force we have to reckon with. But as we said, the blood cleanses us, as Nate read, from a guilty conscience. So ask him, Lord, to clean my conscience, because I'm already forgiven. I'm forgiven. But Lord, cleanse me from a guilty conscience. Wash me in the blood of Christ. The blood gives authority that way to cleanse us. Now, this last one I want to talk about this morning is kind of be a little more of an introduction that I think we're going to have to take some more time on beyond today. Because this one is so important, so pivotal, so powerful for us as believers. And many of us miss it. And that is the blood enables us to draw near to God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. I do have this one written down so I can read with you. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. He says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." Let me read that again. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God," look at verse 22, "let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." And so he begins to talk about this aspect of drawing near to God with a measure of absolute confidence, the blood of Christ enabling us to draw near. And so he highlights this in the sense of the sprinkling of the blood of Christ is for daily interaction and intimacy with God. So you've been justified by faith through his blood, right? We know we can point back to the sacrifice on the cross. Justified by his blood, so I stand righteous before him. I've already been declared that way. But yesterday I had a really hard time. And I didn't treat my wife real well. And I sinned against her in that way. And so now I'm getting ready to pray and getting ready to come before God. And there's stuff between me and God. Because there's stuff between me and her. That was just exactly what really happened. What? Cleansed from a guilty conscience. It's a crazy world. So the Bible says here that the sprinkling of the blood of Christ enables me to come before God and be cleansed, either from a guilty conscience, even from the mess that I might have created just yesterday. It enables me to stand. And so I go from a place of separation from God because of my stupidity, because of my willful choice, to a place of intimacy with God in just a moment, because he's opened a door for me and for you that never was open to us in the past. In fact, as we look historically, we understand, I talked about this on Easter, that the high priest only got to come into this place once a year, and that was in fear for his life, because it's the holiest of holy places. And so they would tie a rope to his garment or to his leg or whatever, so that in case he couldn't stand before the holiness of God, they had a way to drag him out, because nobody would be able to go in and get him, because it's just too holy a place. And this is a place that there were outer courts in the temple, and there was a holy place in the temple. But this was the holy of holy places. And the high priest could only go there once a year and offer sacrifices for all of us people. God said, "This is yours. Any time of the day, any time of the night, you have access to the most holy place in my presence. Just come, sprinkled by the blood of my son, cleansed, and you're right, just like that. And now I have that level of intimacy with God." You see, it's a fresh application of the blood of Christ to our hearts so that we can draw near to God. That's what he's saying. Draw near to me, having your hearts sprinkled with blood, and your conscience is clean. Now, draw near. And so this becomes a pattern now, where in my life, I can come to the holy of holy places an intimacy with God because I've been sprinkled by the blood of Christ. Daily, I can put this into practice. So, Lord, I just come where it is wrong, sprinkled by the blood of Christ. God, this is my prayer. I thank you that I'm clean right now. But even what happened with my wife yesterday, I'm clean right now. Okay? But yeah, I'm just saying, and Lord, I'm clean right now. After you say sorry, that's what I mean. That's part of it. And so I'm clean. And now I'm in this place of intimacy. And guess what's happening now? You see, this is not at that part yet. This is the place where I begin to experience God afresh. It's a place where we can grow in holiness before God. So think about it this way. You're not doing well. It's pretty quick. You can identify, I need to grow in Jesus. I feel like and I come in my prayer time, oh Lord, I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ, right? And so we recognize how dependent we are upon His blood, sprinkling in the blood to be cleansed. But what about if I've been doing well like that? You know, press it in, man. We're going after this thing. I've had a good week. I haven't sinned against my wife, hallelujah, my kids, and I've done really good, right? I'm just messing with you. You know, and somehow I feel like, yeah, I'm ready for the presence of God. I've done pretty good. I'm not qualified. Doesn't matter. That's not what qualifies me to go into the presence of God. Because I've been a good Christian. I went to church for 3 weeks in a row. Hallelujah. I prepared my sermons. I gave my money. I did. I can stand before God. No, it doesn't qualify me. Even though I'm doing good, I haven't sinned. I freshly need the sprinkling of the blood of Christ to qualify me before the Father so I can come into His presence, so I can have fellowship with the Most High, so I can walk in intimacy with God. This is what qualifies me. Not whether I'm doing bad or whether I'm doing good. It's that precious blood, the sprinkling of the blood. I apply it to the doorpost of my own heart. That's what qualifies me. Now I can come any time of the day, any time of the night. See, God looks at us and He sees Him. He sees His Son. He says, Father God, He sees the Son's blood. And He says that to us. We can grow in holiness before Him. So I was saying the Word of God. He says, the Word of God washing our body, right? He said that in verse, let us draw near with sincere heart, full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled and cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. And that's symbolic of the Word of God. It's symbolic of allowing the Word just to cleanse us and to renew us. So we've got a book out there that we've been giving away for free. And if you don't have one, take one. There's 9 or 10 copies, and I got another 100 back at the house ready to replenish them. But this is a great tool. If you haven't been utilizing a tool, it doesn't have to be this, but it's a tool that enables us to get into the Word of God, into devotional life, into the presence of God on a regular basis, so that we can allow the water of God's Word just to wash us and to renew us. That's what we need, that kind of washing and cleansing our body while the sprinkling of the blood is cleansing my conscience. And man, I'm having fellowship, and now I'm growing in holiness before God. This is how it happens. And this is how He pulls me out of the rut. And this pattern, this struggle, this difficulty, I've been battling, I'm back, I get discouraged, I'm despondent, despairing, leads to depression. Nope. It's sprinkled by the blood. I have my body washed with the water of the Word. And I'm renewed in His presence. And in His presence, I can grow in intimacy and grow. And He begins to come with a tow bar, if you will, and pull me out of that rut. And I don't need to be there anymore because I have the sprinkling of the blood of Christ to renew me, to qualify me for being in His presence. We can grow in holiness before Him. See, through the sprinkling of the blood, you can come into the holiest place. You can come into the most holy place. That is your, think about it, right? You want to go to, you get into the game, you want to get into the play, you want to get into the performance. What do you got right now? So you got your sheet, and they scan that little thing on the back. That's your ticket, right? That's your way in. You show them your ticket, that's the way in. You just said, it's my blood. That's the way in. That's the way, the holy place, the most holy place. It's my blood, the power of my blood. It speaks of better covenant. It defeats the enemy. It heals you. It qualifies you. Enables you to draw near to God. Enables you to draw near with confidence. When God sees the blood of Christ on us, he ascribes to us the performance. The performance record of Jesus. So he's actually exchanging. He's saying, no longer do I see Sam's performance. I see Christ's performance. No longer do I see Greg's. I see what Christ has done. I ascribe to you the record of my son. Holy, just, righteous, a son. God accepted. Beloved. Treasured. Valued. And put that on your own. That's the power of the sprinkling of the blood as we come before the Father that way. So now we can draw near to God, and now it's in this place that he can begin to change us day by day by day. When I was younger, I had a friend that their parents owned a nice restaurant, and it was one of those nice Italian places. And, every once in a while, I'd go with my friend to the place and say, hey, you want to go down and see? It was Tony's Italian restaurant. It was down a few miles from where I live. And so we'd get a ride and go with my buddy and we'd go to Tony's restaurant. We'd walk in and his parents owned it. So as soon as he came in the door, guess what happened? Later, Dave would be, hey, how's it going, CJ? You know, come on in. And who's this? Oh, yes, come on in, follow me. And they wouldn't just take us to the table, they'd take us into the back kitchen. And the cook wouldn't just make us, you know, based on the menu, say, what do you guys want? What do you want to do? And he would pull out, and, oh man. And CJ would say, you remember that sub menu? And I said, make one for my buddy, John. Make one for you. And I said, oh man, it was great. And he would prepare and all that stuff. I was in that most holy place. By the authority of my friend. He made a way for me to get into the place where I had no business being. I had no business being there. Nope. Everybody else would kick me out because I didn't belong. And that's what the devil tells you. You don't belong there. You don't belong there. Oh, I'm your friend. He knows that it's you. He said, I can be with you. There's authority. I'm holding, and I'm going to get the riches of treasure here in this place. The riches of God's mercy and grace are mine. I can have whatever he wants to give me. Because I am named by his name, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. It's in that place that we can change. Draw near to God with a clean conscience, being washed by the water of his word, right? Being renewed, it's in that place. I'm just inviting you guys into this practice of the sprinkling of God. I've been doing it for the last month since I read this book. I was just really provoked and challenged in this way, but I'm waking up every morning, and that's what I've been putting in practice. Lord, I just receive the sprinkling of the blood of Christ that cleanses me and will be conscious. Today, I stand before you on the basis of what Christ has done for me. Today, I am now instantaneously in the most holy place. Don't have to go to the outer courts. Don't have to go to the temple gates. Don't have to pass all the altar. I'm right here. It's the gate. The most holy place. Ready to have fellowship with the most holy. And it is blessed. It is beautiful. It's in that place. If I stay there for a while, then I'm going to get changed. I'm going to get renewed. The holiness of God is going to burn into me. You follow that. Sprinkling of blood says yes to you. Every one of those other thoughts, every one of those other lies, every one of those other pieces of the puzzle, even the guilty conscience, God is saying, cleansed by the power of the blood of my son. You see, there's infinite value in the blood of Christ, infinite value in the precious shedding of that blood. We talked about some of the different pieces of that in the very beginning, how Christ cleanses us, right? How he heals us, how he redeems us, how he silences the evil through the blood of Christ, how he enables us also to draw near to God so that we can grow as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters, draw near to him. And I think this is the greatest place of opportunity for us in the church to bring the boldly going through the chef's banquet room, to boldly walk in because we have the authority
being with the Son and His blood. And boldly declare the promises of God in our lives over the heavens. Remember, the enemy cannot stand against the authority of that blood. He put it over the doorpost of our house. He has to pass by. He knows he can't touch you. You have to know he can't touch you. You have to know. You have to join your faith and receive the sprinkling of the blood of Christ so that you can be in the secret place with God. Let's pray again. Father, we're just so thankful that you have come in this way to give us such an awesome gift, the gift of your Son and His precious blood. We receive that today. Would you do this with me? Just as an act of faith. It's not a religious exercise. It really is an act of faith. Just begin to say, Lord, I just apply the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of my heart. Maybe you want to put your hand over your heart, however you want to just even show that you're applying the blood of Christ over the doorpost of your heart. The enemy has to pass by. The enemy can no longer stand. You're cleansed. You're justified. You're being sanctified. You will be glorified through that blood. And over the doorpost of your heart, God is declaring righteous. I purpose God. So Lord, if you've been in the blood, I'm just going to begin to apply the sprinkled blood of Christ over the situation. And I trust for the remnants, for the Holy Spirit to attract to come upon me. Because this is a pattern of faith I can apply on a daily basis. And I can be changed. Your most holy presence. So Lord, just come and meet me in this place. Jesus, let's stand together and just offer ourselves to God.